You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What's up, and welcome to G Wondering. That's right, it's another tasty bite-sized morsel, but it's going to be a little bit bigger, a little bit better, and a little bit more filling today, because you don't just have me alone on the streets of Perth, West Australia. You've got the motherfucking Tokemwal pimp. That's right, the captain of the Tokemwal Terrorizers, live and in the studio. It's Dave from WeWork Stiff. What's up, my man?
Hey, man, that's a big build-up. I don't know if I can live up to that.
No, you're living up to it right now.
Thanks for having me. I really do appreciate it. And now I know what it is like to be a polyamorous podcast whore like my co-host Josh.
Am I your first guest spot? Am I the first podcast you've ever done besides WeWork Stiff?
Yeah. This is my first solo podcast. Expectations, keep them very, very low.
Oh, this is amazing. And it's so funny because we only did this because Curtis and Josh did theirs, and immediately I was like, you see this motherfucking shit going down? We're going to do our own.
Well, I listened to that this morning, actually, and I'm like, wow, that's a really cool podcast. It was a lot longer than any other G Wondering show that there's been.
Yeah.
Do not expect the same sort of critical, analytical analysis. Mm. That
we've got a different style. They're all substance. We're all style. So
I'm quite aware that I could very well be exposed in this format, and everyone see that Josh carried me for years.
Nah. This is going
to
be fun.
Happy to be here and doing this with you, Raph. How did I am curious though.
Mm-hmm.
How did I end up with you, and how did Josh end up with Curtis?
Well, Curtis was just like, who's free? And Josh was like, I'm free. And then it happened. But I'm happy it worked out this way, because you and I always have the same takes. Like, so maybe this is a boring listen, but what everybody's going to get is us just super agreeing with each other, which is going to be really fun for us. Yeah. But whenever I listen to WeWork Stiff, you and I always like the same dudes. We always kind of have the same takes on stuff. So I feel like it worked out for the best, and I feel like Curtis and Josh are both the very sort of analytical guys, and we're the gut guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think it's the right combination has worked out. I think the right tag teams have happened, and I am very excited. So I just want to make sure I'm looking 100% at the right night in the results here. Yes, that's it. So it's going to be night 15 we're talking about. It was live on August 12th, which is now August 15th, so that's how fucking tardy we are, from Nagaoka. And as always, G Wondering, we're not getting bogged down in the tags. I'm sure they're wonderful, but we're just going straight in. Now, straight up, it begins with a Tokemwal terrorizing, torn asunder as two of your members, your team members in the Stiff One draft, go head-to-head, Gabe Kidd versus Callum Newman. Now, I will say that you took Gabe Kidd as your draft, like, number one pick. And to be honest, he probably would have been my number two if I hadn't gotten Zach straight away. How have you felt about his tournament, and how did you feel about this match?
It's not to anybody's surprise that I'm a massive Gabe Kidd mark.
Yeah.
And regardless of whether he had no points or all the points, I was picking him number one, even if I got the first pick.
Yeah.
Just everything about that guy is super compelling. So I've loved his tournament, and I felt like there was growth in there that I wanted to see. He's just much must watch.
Yeah.
And, he does this interesting thing where he rides the line of, particularly in this tournament, you know, because the crowd has gotten so well behind him in different spots and in different buildings. But he does this amazing thing where he's a heel, but he's all pride and honor and respect, and talks about, you know,
to a certain point.
Yeah. But he talks about it in the after the match.
Yeah,
in his promo about it. You know, I'm all emotion. It's not about the moves. I got all that.
Yeah,
and that's my guy. I love that shit.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you go out there and you just like, he just shows how committed and how much he wants it. And then like, I'll be a fan if you look committed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's often the things that I have when I have issues with like following certain guys.
100%. I completely agree. Yeah. I'm the same with all wrestlers in all companies. Mm. Like, I want to see integrity and like intention in everything they do. And when it comes to promos or even like walking to the ring and things like that, I want to see it in their eyes that they believe it and they're with me. Like, this is all subscription.
The whole spectrum. It can be weird as fuck.
Yeah.
Or it can be a madman like Gabe Kidd.
Absolutely. Like, or super straight man, whatever it is. I just want to believe that you're suspending the disbelief with me. And all of my favorite characters in wrestling, as I said, all companies, independents, whatever, are the people that can look down the barrel of that camera and have me believe it. You know what I mean? And then the guys that I don't vibe with that I quite often will, you know, talk about and not feel. He's not as bad now, but used to be a big critic of Yoshihashi. I'm still a big critic of like Sonata, though he's been getting kind of a bit better, are that. And then the ones that I've always historically really vibed with are like dudes like Stone Cold Steve Austin, like Bret Hart, like, you know, like those guys. And Gabe Kidd is that now for New Japan, and I fucking love it.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, we all know the deal, right? We all know what it is, but I want to be taken on the ride. Yeah. I want the promo that fucking makes me kind of either scared or laugh, or I just want to be with the guy.
You just want to be on board, right? It's like if you're asking me to believe that this thing is real, I want to at least believe that you believe it's real. You know what I mean? And you don't have to have like a crazy fucking reason or all this shit. I just want to know that you want to be the best and you want everybody to know you're the best, and then I'm there to see it happen. You know, that's how I always look at it. And so in this particular match, I actually really liked it. I thought it was maybe Cal's best match of the tournament so far. Like, I felt like it was really intense. And even up till after the bell rang, like Gabe's still like fucking him up after the bell and stuff. Were you pretty happy with it? Like, I mean, it was an own goal for your points, but it was still pretty dope.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty short sort of match, but it was amazingly done.
It was 4 minutes and 51 seconds.
yeah. It wasn't like a traditional squash in any way, because Callum got a lot of offense in, it was intense, and then Gabe just kind of caught him and planted him, you know? Mm-hmm. I like those kind of things. It's not necessarily how I'd expected it to go down, but I've said to Josh recently, I'm like, the Gabe Kidd can do a Gabe Kidd match 100 different ways. Mm-hmm. And this was no different. You know, this is like a squash, but it gives Callum, you see there's the intensity. He's still kind of on the come up. He gets taught a lesson by a guy who's effectively kind of his generation or the generation just before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Callum will kind of learn from those moments. And, you know, Gabe sort of saying afterwards, you know, you can't just be a fucking Will cosplay. You got to be your own man and that sort of thing. And I love that sort of shit. So I thought the tournament overall for Callum was... I expected that. Nothing kind of like surprised me about him. Like,
no, not at all. Like, he did get that like initial win or whatever, which was kind of like his big sort of moment. And then really he was what you would expect from like a new guy in the tournament, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Although the other new guy in the tournament, Bolton Oleg, as soon as he walked out from behind the curtain, that fucking instantly surprised me. Like, And then, you know, they get the Takeshita win and all that sort of thing. So there is a comparative thing going on there from guys from the same class,
mm-hmm.
but they're telling different stories, right? And yeah. I like that. I like the difference of where guys are at.
Mm-hmm.
Callum is like, he's supremely talented as far as the moves thing goes.
Sure.
And, but there's elements, like he's a little bit of a cunt sometimes. Mm. And I want to see that prickish side kind of come out. I don't mean he has to be a heel or anything like that, but I'm all for this Prince becomes the King story,
mm-hmm.
but I'm all for it sort of taking time and him festering on yeah. things.
And he's so young, right? Like,
yeah. God, what is he, 21?
Yeah. And like, crazy. Think how good he is now. Like, first ever G1, 21 years old in the United Empire. Imagine where he'll be in a couple of years. Like, if everything goes to plan. Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, they've got a couple of them in. They got Vegeta in the juniors and him in the heavies. Like, it's nuts how good they are, not just spotting talent, but mm-hmm. preparing talent.
Yeah.
So in 18 months' time, both of those guys were going to be like, holy fuck.
Yeah.
And then in 3 years' time, we're going to be like, well, these two guys are just, like, they'll be top of the world in New Japan.
You know? Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. Moving on after that, the next round was Zack Sabre Jr. Defeating Sonata in 15 minutes and 44 seconds. Now, this was a battle of the West Coast Captains versus the British Beefcakes. And I got to be honest, man, with how well Zack had done in the tournament and how kind of average Sonata had done, I really did not expect Zack to win. I was sweating. I was like, I need these points. And I really thought I was going to be fucked. And then Zack just wins. And I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I wasn't expecting it either. I mm-hmm. thought Sonata would get the win here.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that Zack goes through as kind of like the dominant guy from the block.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, regardless of what happens in the playoffs, he can still be like, you know, I am still the greatest tournament wrestler. Like, I fucking flew through my block in the in the G1. I really dug this match. They've got good chemistry, these two. So he brings something out in Sonata at like the more technical side.
I would agree.
He does. You know, when I watch those two wrestle, I kind of like, oh, well, I'd like to see a bit more of that in Sonata. But then it does kind of, we always, you know, you guys talk about it and we talk about who Sonata kind of like, he'll wrestle at the level of the guy that he's with.
Yeah.
And he can go with Zack. They got good chemistry. The back and forth stuff was cool. I dug the match. The result surprised me, but I'm here for it.
Exactly. And you're seeing a bit more emotion out of Sonata, which is good. Whether it reads integrous or painting by numbers, you know what I mean? That is still a question to be answered, you know, as it goes. Like, am I just showing this because other people do and things like that? Do I really believe it? And do I see it? I'm not all the way convinced. But he's trying and he's trying to do different things. And he was there with Zack the whole way. And I think he always shows that he can be there for anybody. He just can't always bring people to his level.
I honestly want a Sonata Tai Chi tag run.
Yeah. I'm with you because, like, think about how good, like, Tai Chi was for Zack, like, when they were on that big run. And Sonata has had big tag runs before, but he was with Evil. You know what I mean? Yeah, they were just the LIJ gimmick guys and that was just it and they had a bullshit finish and things like that. Imagine you put him with Tai Chi, like, and they have a great chemistry together. Tai Chi brings out a lot of energy in him and
he brings emotion and the crowd connect. Tai Chi is just one of those guys. They connect differently.
There's like a bromance there that's like really honest and stuff, like that you used to see when they were in opposite factions, you know? And so, I just let them be together. Stop holding them apart. Like, just let it happen.
Exactly, man. And, you know, the troubled relationship with their dads too, you know?
Yeah. Like there's a lot happening. Just let them go. And you're not really doing much with either guy clearly right now.
Yeah. The tag division needs another team.
Absolutely. So, I feel like you could have bangers because let's face it, like depending on what happens in B and what's going on with Wrestle Kingdom and where things go and whether the, you know, dreams get fulfilled and Goto continues on. If not, you'd have to think maybe rotates back to Bishamon at some point. And when he does, Bishamon versus like a just two guys, I don't know what you want to call it, but that sort of scenario could be really cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
I'm all there for that.
It's a great idea.
I don't know. Zach's, what did you think of Zach's tournament?
Oh, I mean, just put on a clinic, didn't he?
Pretty flawless.
Like, dude. Pretty fucking flawless. Every match was great. He was must watch. His connection with the crowd is really growing.
It's amped up.
Yeah, and when you think about, like, who the crowd was responding to most throughout this tournament, it'd be Goto, it'd be Zach, probably Yuya, and maybe Shingo. Do you think of the top four of, like,
yeah, Gabe would be up there too.
Oh, sorry. Oh, Gabe is, like, yeah, top three, easy. Like, yeah. Maybe even more so. Maybe it's like Goto, Gabe, Zach, like, in that sort of order. Because when Gabe was fucking around, like, in sort of like a face mode, the crowd wanted it. Like, after that Shingo match, when he was like, shake my hand, they were like, oh, they want it so bad.
Dude.
I wanted it.
I wanted it, and then I was like, oh, is he going to do it? Is he going to do it? And then I was doubtful, and then they did it, and then I'm like, oh, my God, amazing, it's happening. And then it didn't happen, and I'm like, I wanted it to not happen in that moment. I just went to the ride there. It was a roller coaster, and I fucking, you know, I dug every kind of.
Yeah, roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah. 360.
You know, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah, and Goto, like, the crowds have just been brutal for him as well. But, yeah, I feel like Zach's really riding on top of the world. And Shingo's always right there. And I'll use that as a professional podcasting segue to jump straight to Shingo.
Amazing. Seamless.
Seamless.
That's how we do it here. The A side, the A block, the A side of this podcast.
That's how it goes. Absolutely. It's the first.
That, my friend.
I was going to say it's the first one you listen to, but I mean, technically their episode came out first. So what can you do? But so Shingo defeating Jake Lee in 13:49. What did you think of Shingo's tournament?
I mean, he's the ultimate blockbuster wrestler.
So mediocre excellence, right? It's almost expected of him. Like, you're like,
the dude has the highest floor in professional wrestling.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He's just always so good and so compelling and connected to the audience. It's like. Character-wise, there's not a lot of movement generally, but in this G1 with the Naito stuff, and because he beat Naito and now he's in kind of the position that he's in, I'm all for kind of Shingo just being a little bit like just at least questioning what's my ranking in this faction now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, because he's probably thinking it should probably be higher than it is. Like with his performances and things like that. And I mean, he just beat Naito recently. Like, so he might be going, dude, maybe you're on the way out. Like, and maybe I'm on the way in.
I'm in the playoffs, man. You know, you couldn't get it done. And I'm here and I beat you and I'm in the playoffs. And, you know, Wrestle Kingdom, it's two matches away from him, you know. Well, yeah. Nobody knows. Yeah, three matches.
Mm. I'm still not riding off that he could be the one. Like to win the G1.
I'm not either. I really
think it could be him, to be honest.
But dude, like a Naito, Shingo, Wrestle Kingdom.
LIJ explodes. Yeah.
I mean, that would connect hard in, I think definitely would connect hard in the Japanese domestic audience. But I think, you know, Shingo, because of the spots in AEW and just how good he is, a lot of people know who that guy is.
Sure.
I think that would bring eyes across too.
It would. And, like, he had his run with the belt, but it was in a really trying time. Oh, like he put the company on his back when the world ended and Will Ospreay had to bail and they just, like, put it on Shingo and he just
honestly,
fucking,
man, I didn't even see it because I just tuned, like, the pandemic era, I fucking tuned out. I mean, I tuned out of life, but I definitely tuned out of wrestling, watching wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of got updates from Josh because, you know, he's a psychopath and just has to watch like
everything
regardless, care. And sort of he would tell me what's going on. I'm like, oh, that's cool, maybe I should check it out. And then he'd be like, yeah, it's Shingo, but everything else is in the fucking dirt. Like,
yeah.
It was
really hard, dude. And like the vibe isn't there and stuff. It was rough. But yeah, I think it is Shingo. And I think he deserves like a run on top when there's crowds. I think he would absolutely fucking kill it, you know? So.
And I think it adds to the LRJ story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? And maybe Naito does win and it's all way. And it is his faction and everybody should fall in line. Or maybe he is as banged up physically as everybody always says. And maybe this is his swan song. And maybe he hands it over to Shingo because, you know, people say, you know, Yoda Suji's on the come up. And I know you guys have talked about the idea of like a mutiny story and things like that. But I don't know. I was pretty high on Suji earlier this year, but I feel like this tournament, I mean, not to jump into B-Block, but I feel like he's kind of been a little flat for me. So maybe he's not ready, you know, and maybe like a Shingo is the move. You know, Shingo's in his prime.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about that on our most recent episode as mm-hmm. well. Like we went kind of towards the end of the show, we go a little bit deep into Yoda.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not as sold on Yoda being kind of ready yet.
Yeah.
But Shingo is ready and
he's beyond and he's been ready
and dude, like he makes everyone else ready, right?
Yeah,
Look what he did with the Never division, you know. Yeah. So if you want to get Yoda ready, putting Shingo at the top isn't the worst way to do it. If Naito is kind of, you know, I know there's a story there, but how much of that is reality, how much of that is kind of the just the story.
Mm-hmm.
You never know with fucking Naito, right?
Like, yeah.
You know, I don't think he's got that much longer to go, but how underdone he actually is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Naito likes to play with the audience. He likes to play with New Japan. So you can never be too sure. But Shingo, if you're going to have, you know, a guy from the current generation that's on top as the guy to kind of transition this new generation through and certainly transition like the growth of a guy like Yoda or Yuya or any of these younger guys, he could do a lot worse than fucking Shingo Takagi. Like.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think in this kind of time where you're getting this young generation going up, those are the guys, right? You guys like Shingo, Zach, Goto, they're the guys that you want to constantly be putting dudes like Yoda and Yuya and Shota and stuff up against because
they need reps against those guys.
Absolutely.
They do. They and like, do. You know, the Jeff Cobbs of the world who as well, you know, to talk too much about B-Block, as you said, has had an amazing tournament and he's, you know, those are the kind of guys that are just great for the growth of the generation that is coming up. Mm-hmm. That's a ridiculously talented generation, not taking anything away from them.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely feel like Yoda he still needs some some reps.
Yeah.
And you know, to just get him in there as much as he can with those guys, those names that you mentioned, mm-hmm. I think that's just invaluable to New Japan in the long run. And you know, that's all, all those young guys are their homegrown talent. So they're going to want to do it the right way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, Shingo's
they're not going to cut corners, man. That's just not the style of the promotion.
They don't, nor should they. Do it the right way because, you know, they've lost so much talent recently. I'm all, you know, I've talked about this on our podcast, but I'm all for like not just bringing up one guy to fill the spot of Okada, one guy to fill the spot of Will Ospreay and, you know, a Western guy to fill up the spot of Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
Bring them all up together and have them kind of at a similar level on the way up. So then you've got once that older generation is cycled down a little bit, Goto's going to be the greatest dad of all time. But once that cycling begins, then you've got fucking 6, 7, 8 guys that
ready to go, simmering,
ready to go. Main simmering event.
In the
main
Bay
event
Marie.
Fucking generation. And then you've got fucking Oiwa, you know, like playing around.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about him. And you know what's interesting? I'm glad you brought up that topic because I've thought about it for a while now because quite often the like discussion in New Japan fandom is who's the guy? Who's going to be the next guy? Who's going to be the next ace? Who's going to be the thing? The answer should probably be everybody. Like it's like bring up the team. Like together, everybody shines. That we're in a point now with New Japan where we've got like a new world title. We don't have to worry about that super heavy legacy where barely anybody can hold the belt and all that. Flip it around, keep everybody valuable, you know, those kind of things. So, and I think there's a lot to be said there. But I think that's the move. But speaking of new additions to the G1 and to New Japan, obviously Shingo defeated Jake Lee. Now, there's been debate whether Jake Lee is really with New Japan or it's like an angle and he's actually still with Noah or whatever. I hadn't really been exposed to much Jake Lee and didn't really want to go out of my way to see it. I saw a guy in a top hat looking stupid. I didn't really care. And I started this tournament kind of angry about it.
Oh, dude, I loved those rants, by the way. Like, I just chuckle away to myself.
I was pissed off about it.
Wonderful. Oh, look, dude, and in the beginning I was with you, you know, yeah. Like maybe not with the same sort of vitriol, but I was with you. I was like, maybe he's not the right fit. Does he fit with War Dogs? And what is this? But, like, you know, another thing that I love about the Stiff One Climax is I know Jake Lee's not your guy, but you've been following kind of the, and it's probably the benefit of like a thing like the G1 during as well, if you're following a block particularly.
Yeah.
That you're kind of, in some ways, you're forced to watch guys you wouldn't normally watch.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you're forced to kind of look for some stuff to talk about.
Well, yeah, when you're doing a podcast for every night of A Block, you need to fucking figure it out because
And I love it because I'm here for guys to win me over. Even if, you know, fucking TJP is a perfect example. But if I shit on someone, not that I don't like to shit on someone, but if lightly shit on someone.
I can come in pretty hot, but I'm always open to being won back
be
over.
Turned
yeah.
around. Same, make same. Me a fan,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Like, win me over.
And
win me over.
I'm all about that. And I look for that. Mm-hmm. And Jake Lee over that period, and I feel like Gabe Kidd and him, they've built a chemistry. He looks more comfortable in the role when Gabe Kidd is involved.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of like the mad bastards that they can both kind of teach each other things.
Yeah, sure. Sure. You know, he can teach Gabe to be more calculating, to take his time with stuff and things like that. And Gabe can be like, yo, now the time's, it's just
pick
time to fuck
intensity.
Somebody up. Yeah, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
We got to get mean and fucking bad.
You're a big fucking dude. Throw him around. Like that kind of vibe, yeah. And their match against each other, I really like. That was the match
that
won me over to Jake Lee. When fucking, you know, Gabe comes in, he's all intense and shit like that. And then out comes fucking Jake Lee and he's wearing the War Dog shirt. And he's got the beers. He's got this like grin on his face like, buddy. And I was like, okay,
and
I don't
Jake's
hate
like,
this guy anymore.
Gabe's kind of like, like nodding and laughing. And then he gets up on the apron and it just gets a
blitzes him.
I love that shit, man.
And then he stomps him into War Dogs, basically. It's blood in then, kind of thing. Yeah.
And then Jake teaches him at the end where he, like, Gabe tries, as the countdown's going, he tries to go for one more and he reverses it and he gets in the ring and he wins via count out. Like, there's a they're teaching each other lessons.
Yeah.
I like the vibe. Yeah. I think it's cool. And it's sort of, that definitely has won me over on Jake.
Very, very true to both characters. It was really well done.
Yeah.
I completely agree. Completely
well
agree.
Together.
And so that, again, if we're talking about people doing things and like playing around with tags and things like that, I think, like you said, that idea of like a mad bastards type thing, that could be cool and be a cool place to sort of sit them. And then you also give Gabe a potential foil or whatever, because I don't think you're going to see like Jake turn face. You know what I mean? Like, so there's something you could do. But I've just realized as we're running down this card, right? So you had an own goal. Gabe Kidd and Callum Newman were both yours. So 2 points to Dave.
Yes. Yep.
Zack Sabre beats Sonata, I get 2 points. Shingo beats Jake Lee, I get 2 points. And then Shooter Umino defeating Evil, me 2 points, and then the last match is going to see you with 2 points. So this is really the perfect night for us to be talking about because it was
all right for
Dave all night. But Shooter versus Evil. Shooter was trying to give us some real babyface energy here. I was really glad that he just came through for me on this last night because I was like, fuck, did I fuck up? Because in that third round of draft, you know, you guys started getting wild. Like Curtis picks Oleg, you pick Newman, Josh picks unproven Jake Lee. And I'm like, I'm just going to get Shooter, guys, because he's probably going to win like the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I was starting to feel real shaky on him. and he manages to overcome evil. Evil and stuff come in. They talk some bullshit. They're saying that Shooter couldn't make it to the arena and that essentially he's forfeit and they need to ring the bell and Evil needs to win. Obviously, he runs in. The match happens. You see all the bullshit, the usual stuff. So there's no need to even really break down the match, you know, but how have you felt about Shooter and the intensity he's trying to deliver and, like, the honesty in him? Because, I mean, you and I are all about integrity and I feel like that's maybe not there with him in his character. Yeah, I don't think he really knows who he is.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, this is, you know... I mean, on that our last show, I think we ruffled a few feathers with Shooter fans, and I mean, I get the support. I mean, I'm totally.
Wait, the Shooter fans?
Yeah. Support who you want to support. I've got no issue with that. Like, your favorites are your favorites, and great, just do your own thing. I'm the same. I don't give a shit if anyone likes who I like. But Shooter for me is he's a troubling case, and I don't feel like he's had the best tournament in comparison to other guys of a similar sort of generation or age or whatever. I feel like they've kind of outshone him a little bit. And then this match, I mean, Josh and I often talk about Shooter gets given a lot.
Yes.
And he gets given layups and we're waiting for him to dunk it rather than just kind of finger roll it.
Sure.
In this match with Evil, which is like he's been orbiting around Evil for a period of time, he gets the Tanahashi layup.
Yeah, he got the Tanahashi run-in in this match, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, yeah, I did too. And I thought that was better. And that garnered like support because, you know, the Japanese fans, they love Tana and, you know, I was kind of expecting a bit more of Tana involved in the whole Evil shenanigans or the House of Torture shenanigans throughout the G1. And the fact that they sort of saved it for here, like, totally makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, how much of that is to help Shooter just get over?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you've got to have Tana in there so that Shooter can kind of get the support against Evil. I don't know. Shooter is a curious case for me. I'm the same. I feel the same for you. He doesn't quite know who he is. You know, Red years ago was like, they're telling the Naito story with Shooter. And we were like, we laughed it off at the time. We're like, what are you talking about, Red? But now it seems kind of in some ways, you know, Red Stradamus.
Like he spotted it that long ago. And so for people who are like newer to New Japan and maybe aren't up on like Naito's full story and things like that, explain that, what he meant by that.
So, you know, Naito wasn't the ingovernable one for a long period of time. Like in the beginning, he was like when he first came back and he was the Stardust genius and a very different kind of character. And he announced himself in Osaka famously as the Shuyaka, I think that's how you say it. You know, basically the ace of the company.
Yeah, and like the new hope of the company. Like, I'm the fucking genius, I'm the one, and I am the fucking dude, basically.
I am him, you know, the like Neo
Shooter
of it all,
did,
you know.
Where he was like I'm going to be the ace, he declared.
And Osaka rejected Naito for it.
Yes. You know,
and then that sort of started this groundswell of, like, rejection against Naito. Oh, you've been, you know, shoved down our throat. You're not the guy. We've got Tanahashi, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Naito goes to Mexico. The rest is history. He becomes the ungovernable one, comes back and is like the dark ace of the company and you know, the biggest.
Because he starts so disrespectful. Like, yeah. Like, would take the title and throw it in the air. And for a time, he was intercontinental title holder and he would actively smash it.
Right?
Like, he had this broken belt because he's like, this is a piece of shit. Like, it's below me. I am above. He used to say he was above the titles, right? He's like, I'm above the world title. Like,
a lot of it came down to like that whole voting thing with when he was having the world title match against Okada.
Yeah,
and they did a vote because Shinsuke was the white belt champ
and was versus Tanahashi, right?
and Tanahashi, yeah. and he got voted as the most, and he ended up the main event. So there was, he kind of used that and brought that into the narrative of him. And then, you know, I'm the main event. You know, I can't main event as this belt. I've got to make myself the main event. Right. Yeah. And Shooter has sort of followed a similar path, telling everyone that he's the ace and that kind of thing. And the commentary has done a good job in the, I feel like Walker's really kind of hammered that home.
Yeah.
Throughout the G1, talking about that sort of story aspect. And Shooter has like this kind of identity crisis. Is he Naito? Is he Tanahashi? Is he John Moxley? What is he?
Yeah.
And then he's for the kids. But he's kind of rejected by a lot of adult fans.
Yeah.
There's layers to it, but I'm still unsure about how or where what the direction is there, where he goes.
I wonder whether like how much thought they put into it, like because he's made a few aesthetic changes and stuff, which actively kind of make him look less cool and things like that. And I wonder whether he's like they're purposely leaning into the rejection. You know what I mean? Like going, let's kind of like feed the he gets everything narrative down everybody's throat. So they're already feeling like, oh, this fucking pretty boy who gets everything. And then they're doing a few things, like they're doing things that make him less cool and less likely to get fans. And then he has something to rail against when it all doesn't go his way.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I would like him to kind of go through a period. I mean, this doesn't have to be forever or anything, but like a period where he leans into the Nepo baby thing and like some like an interaction with Red Shoes.
Yeah. I would love him to stomp out his dad. I reckon it would be so fucking – or like tell his dad to count. You know what I mean? Like he does something fucking blatant in front of Red Shoes – like to steal a title or something, and he's fucking like trying to pin the guy, and he's literally telling his dad to fucking count it. And his dad says no, and they have a confrontation.
Like, no, because he's the honorable referee and he won't stand for that kind of shenanigans.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, well, I mean, why is my son doing this?
Yeah. You could turn him so red hot heel in Japan with shit like that. Like
you could. And I think you could do it in a way that would eventually benefit him in like acceptance as a baby face.
Yeah.
He's struggling with a bit of perception and a bit of it feels like insecurity. Like we talked about earlier, like commitment. Sometimes when I watch Shooter come out to the ring, like he comes out from like the Moxley way out, but he's kind of got like almost like a blank stare. Yeah.
The camera cuts to him too early and he's just awkwardly standing against a wall by all the like monitors, like doing nothing. And you're like, what's going on? And then they're like, you can go. And then he like awkwardly kind of walks out until he sort of gets to the fans and then he sort of puts on the show like a little bit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Until he gets kind of to the front and he starts kind of shaking kids' hands and giving them glow sticks and stuff. Like, I don't know. Like, it doesn't seem like him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't fucking know the man or anything like that, but, you know, the connection seems manufactured. And I felt like the Tanahashi thing felt manufactured. And whereas, you know, you look at the rise of, say, like a Hanare or any of these other guys that are kind of like really popping off at the moment, that's so organic.
Yeah,
like the Goto story, how fucking organic is that? Yeah. Like, out with the kids and that sort of stuff. Like it's fucking beautiful. And
they need to lean into that regardless of what their plans are for this tournament. They
absolutely,
I think it would be a huge mistake to roll him like back to the tag after this. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the crowd are just so behind him. Like I just really want to give him a run. Give him a fucking run. Give him the gold watch, set him about it. That would be so good. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Absolutely. So the Shooter connection, it's a little disconnected for me. And that's just my opinion. That's just me and what I'm looking for. But I'm, as I said, I'm here for him to sort of turn me around on it. I just think he needs something a little meatier than a Tanahashi
Like
involvement or a Moxley connection. Involvement.
Yeah, yeah. He needs something for himself.
I thought like his most compelling period was like some of the Ren stuff that he
the fireside chat, like all the the like, you know, gay tension between the two of them, like, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It was the tag thing, and then like that got ran over big time. And Shooter needs something. He needs something meaty.
And that was over the course. When you think about it, that, was over such a short period of time. We're friends and we're sort of a team. Cool. They had this like little interview, just like the fireside chat kind of thing. And then within days, Ren had turned on him, but it like gave that turn all the weight in the world. You know, like it's funny what they can turn around so quick.
It is. And I mean, New Japan's, I think for me personally, and why I'm such a big fan, is that their ability to kind of do the turnaround and get you to invest in wrestlers is, from my experience watching pro wrestling for far too long, they're better than anyone at sort of like being able to kind of have you connect with wrestlers that you had sort of in your own mind kind of written off at some point. So I don't think that there's like no hope for Shooter or anything.
Not at all. He's just super talented. He can absolutely do something. They just, it's not there yet, but what it will be is going to be the journey, you know.
Yeah, and I don't see a path currently to what it will be. So it's very hard to kind of like project forward or speculate on what it is. But you know, I'm here for it. So
absolutely. I guess we don't really need to get too bogged down with Evil. He is what he is. He went on a win streak at the start, and now he's on a bit of a losing streak at the end. He is what he is, and I think with the Tanahashi involvement, everybody's sort of been saying the writing on the wall is going to be like maybe a Tanahashi Evil sort of program for Wrestle Kingdom. So I think that's probably is what it is, you know.
Yeah. Some of the elements have become kind of ineffective. I think that's part of the story.
Yeah.
House of Torture for me. I think there's a slow change kind of happening. Mm-hmm. I'm here for that as well.
Exactly. I like them. I think they're a bit of fun. I've got no real problem with them, but it's just a slow kind of movement.
I'm the same. I just don't want it in the main event.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know?
Exactly. Yep. Now, speaking of main event, jump to the main event of this night, and it was your boy, the star player, the MVP of the Token War Terrorizers, the Great Okan.
He's everyone's boy.
Everyone's boy, especially Curtis's. He was very upset when he didn't get him, defeating Curtis's number one draft pick. Now, Curtis had the second pick of the tournament, and he chose this man, Tetsuya Naito. Could have chose Great Okan, but didn't. And Great Okan starts on a bit of a loss, and then he comes back. He did a reverse Evil. So where Evil started on the hot streak and ended in losses, Great Okan started slow and then ended up really hot, and it comes down to this match. Can he beat Naito, and can he put himself into finals contention? And he manages to do it in an amazing match and a terrific fashion. You've got to be feeling good about this pick and how it all worked out.
Yeah, I was pumped. I was sending messages to Josh. I'm like, do they fucking make a star here? They have the potential to make Great Okan here. I'm doubtful that they will do it, but like it's there, it's sitting right there for them.
Yeah.
He's on a run. Yeah. He's against the champion. Mm-hmm. It's the main event of the night. I want to see it. Traditional New Japan booking dictates that it ain't going to happen. They'll get it close, but it ain't going to happen. And then he ends up with like this emphatic, dominant kind of finish.
Yeah.
Which for a match which I thought was like very, very good. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from the start, like with Great Okan, you know, he started slow as far as kind of wins go. But I was watching him. I'm like, he's motivated.
He was always looking like, good. Yeah, absolutely.
He was having great matches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you had a great tournament as well up until recently, but the injury was unfortunate. But I was really digging the Great Okan stuff with Yuya, even though there was some kind of very odd, you know, lemon eating elements to it. But even in the nuttiness of it, I loved it, and I love that about Okan. I love the absurdity cross with the kind of the mixed martial arts sort of aspect of it that rides with me, because again, he's committed to the bit, right?
Yeah. Always in everything he does, from the doing the hopping vampire thing, like through to being a tag champion that's in Vegas and just like getting photo shoot on the strip, just in nothing but his fucking, you know, gear and the belt, like, you know, like he's always, he's just always like living it. Absolutely. I was really happy because I thought I have a, like, you know how it always says G-Store ambassador, you know, is part of his thing. So G-Store is a store in Japan and that they do have like some limited edition sort of Great Okan merchandise. They've done various different things. And when I was there, I got this, I guess, what are they called? Like not a bomber jacket, but like a sort of raincoat type jacket, I guess, like a mosh jacket, I guess. And it's sick. And on the back, it's got a big picture of Okan. Like it's like a black jacket, raincoat type material, big picture of his face. It's got like an Okan signature. I fucking love the jacket. And I couldn't find it like this last week. And the last time I wore it, we were like out in town and on the beers in a big way. And I was like, did I fucking leave this, like to the point where I called the venues to be like, hey, do you have a lost property? Is jacket there, big guy on the back kind of thing? And they're like, no, it didn't do it. And my wife's like, oh, that's really sad because you won't be able to get it again and stuff. I'm like, yeah, it does really suck. But I'm like, but before I write it off forever, I just need a day to like go through the cupboard. Because you know what it's like, you got 100 jackets and stuff, like a coat hanger gets pushed the wrong way or it falls down the back or something. I'm like, I'll just find it. And then the other morning, a week later, it was lost for 1 week in my mind. And then I was just going through the shirts to like get Amy her shirt for work. And then like I instantly felt it because it's that different fabric. I'm like, oh, here it is. Mm-hmm. Like, and that was like the day he won basically. So
nice.
So I was very happy. It was a sign that he was going to go through. And yeah.
All I knew, mate.
I'll be honest. I knew he had won. Not because you had spoiled it, but just from your reaction in the chat. You were like, is anybody watching this all caps? Like, and I was like,
I was just like,
Dave is excited.
And then I think my response was, holy feck.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I saw this and I was like, I know who's wrestling today and there's only one man in this whole thing that could get this man's reaction. So, yeah.
I was instantly sent a message to Josh and I was like, I'm back in the game.
Yeah, he loves it. So, yeah, and after that finishes, we're now into finals for A Block. This is the last of the A Block night that isn't finals. This is the last of the heats, and we have our finalists set. We've got Zack Sabre Jr., Shingo Takagi, and the Great Okan. So, just quickly before we'll do a quick prediction thing, but quickly before we do, just wanted to say, I mean, we've kind of touched on him throughout the whole night, but just Naito, just on his tournament broad overview.
I mean, I think that, I don't sort of particularly buy into a lot of the discourse, but in some ways I think it's fair. A lot of the discourse around him is kind of, not that he's washed, but there's like something going on with Naito. He's a bit underdone and blah, blah, blah. I thought he told that story.
He
really
definitely
well.
Leans into it. I think he loves
he
it.
Does.
He loves Almost, that. Yeah.
He does. He loves kind of teasing the audience and I felt like, you know, commentary and what he was doing in ring and the stuff around the Destino not being able to kind of hit it properly or cleanly, it's always been a little bit of a messy move anyway. I like that aspect of Naito. I like that he's kind of a little bit of a sloppy wrestler, particularly when you're like, you go back and you look at that early audition he had for New Japan and you like look at the athleticism that guy had and you're like, man, this dude that he can do everything.
Yeah,
he just kind of blew everyone out of the water, you know, and the athletic freak Sonata was there at the time, you know, and he just made everyone look like he was an alien in comparison. And so, you know, and he's done stuff with Kenny Omega in the past where he's, you know, everyone thought that he botched, but it was planned.
Things
like
he loves Naito. It. Like, for all you know, the fucking eye story is just a straight up leak. Like, I mean, I wasn't in the surgery room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that could all be bullshit. He's like, I've got weird eyes. I'll tell everybody there's problems with them. Like,
yeah, you know? I mean, the only thing that's obvious to me is that he hides the hairline.
Yeah, he does. He's a worker.
You just don't
absolute
quite
worker.
Know. Yeah, he's a worker, and I think he'll be a worker until the day that he stops wrestling.
Yeah.
And I like the idea of an underdone champion.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that he doesn't make it through to the playoffs. I think it's fresh. Mm-hmm. It's different for him, which I think is important. And it opens up the field of like, oh, now everyone feel that beat him in the tournament feels like they have a shot at the champ.
Yeah, because even if Okan now doesn't get beyond the playoffs, he still beat the champion. So
he's
really,
got a right to claim a shot, right?
He absolutely does, because he beat him in a dominant fashion as well. Pinned him 1-2-3, like clean as a whistle. So
yeah,
absolutely. I'm with you, man. I completely agree with everything you said. So I guess the answer is, without talking about who is in the B block finals and things like that, because at this stage in time, anyone's listened to it, we don't know. We're talking about Zach, Shingo, and Great Okan. It's going to be Shingo and Great Okan first, and then Zach waiting in a bye. So who are you seeing going through? Like, what are you thinking?
I mean, I'm shit at predictions. My Chris Sampsa sort of tippums, the WeWork stiff tipping contest.
Yeah. I haven't even looked at my tips, but I assume they're fucked, because I knew I would not be able to remember to do it every week. So I just did them all at the start, and then I don't even know my login to get back into it. Oh, so I imagine they're completely fucking caught.
I'll have a look for you and I'll send you a message.
Because I imagine dead bottom, because I was, you know, you kind of have an idea at the start of the contest.
Red's in the comp, so there's...
there's hope for me yet. But yeah, I think it would be fucked, because I've never looked at it again. Like, you guys were smart and you made a thing that you could roll with and you could do it weekly and things like that.
Yeah, footy tips.
I'm doing episodes for every G1 at this stage. Yeah. I don't have fucking time to do that. So I was just like, do them all at once. We'll see what happens. So let God sort it out. Yeah.
What was the question again?
Okay, so just Shingo and Okan, who's your prediction? Who do you think's going through? You go back in your head, boy? Or?
My head says... It makes sense for Zach, but I'm torn, because it also makes sense for, like, to me, the big story of this second half of the year, clearly with the Naito stuff, is going to be LIJ. I'm just not sure, and Naito and LIJ, and I'm just not sure whether they do it early or they do it before Wrestle Kingdom, or they make it part of the Wrestle Kingdom.
Sure, because Shingo did beat Naito, so he could also have a title match before Wrestle Kingdom.
So yeah, regardless, that's kind of the story, right?
And so did Zach, actually. So all three finalists, technically, even if they don't win the G1, all have right to challenge.
Yeah, Naito's 100 men. So does a title even go back and forth before Wrestle Kingdom? Like, who
knows?
I mean, that's what I love about this G1. Like,
same.
It's unpredictable.
Yeah.
So the dominance of Zach makes me kind of feel like Zach, that's who I picked in the Samsa Pick'ems. Mm-hmm. But the overall story makes me think it's going to be an LIJ Wrestle Kingdom story. So Shingo, to me, kind of makes sense. Mm-hmm. And Great Okan is kind of like, he's my heart. He's the long shot that I just want to see. But at Wrestle Kingdom, it doesn't make sense.
No, I love to see him do good things, and I feel like just that win was a huge thing for him. But yeah, I don't know if I see him in the Wrestle Kingdom picture. It's right on the line between Shingo and Zach. I mean that over whoever comes through B block as well. Like, I feel
I agree.
Like,
exactly. I agree. The Okan thing, I think what it's done for him is it's effectively made him like that kind of, you know, Josh talked about it, the cult hero. He's become, he's got like this real kind of groundswell, a grassroots kind of movement behind him now, which is great. And that benefits him massively. And a title shot for him at some point in the rest of the, before the year's out. Perfect. Love it. Let's do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got to be honest. I'm not sure it's coming home.
Yeah.
If it's between Shingo and Zach, I'm just not sure it's coming home. I think it might be Shingo.
Who, when they versus each other, who won? Who won, Shingo or Zach?
Oh, fuck. I'm not the man to ask those.
No, that's a question for one Josh.
Josh will get us the people to ask that.
Let's hang on. I'm going to be there.
Look it up. But
quickly.
I mean, Zach got dropped on his head badly.
It was Shingo. Shingo won.
So it was Shingo.
So the question is, does Shingo go on to beat him twice in the tournament, or does Zach win it back?
Yeah. Fuck. I don't know. It's a big chance Zach will get his win back there, right?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. But, I mean, if you're booking somebody who's going to go on to be the champion, maybe you want him to finish strong.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I may, and that would add to the LIJ story too. Yeah, if
because not only did I beat you, I also beat Zach who beat you. Yeah,
and I beat Okan who beat you.
Yeah,
so I am the right.
Fuck. Oh right. Jesus.
Yeah.
I think we're talking ourselves into Shingo, eh?
I think we might be.
Mm.
I'm here for it. I'm not.
I'll just say this. My head is saying that, but my heart is saying Zach. But, yeah.
I mean, I'd love it to be Zach. Mm. I love that man. I think he's amazing and well and truly worthy. But so is Shingo.
Plus, hey, if B Block comes through, Goto gets in. There you go. That's your fucking champ right there. That's what we want. That's
let's
what
do
want.
It.
Yeah, let's do it. Dude, thanks so much. This is officially my longest G-Wandering episode ever. And I'm glad I could do it with you. So, and I'm very happy to be your first other podcast other than WeWork, Steve.
Thanks for having me. I'm glad that it was your first. I actually didn't think that would be the longest G1 wondering. I didn't think that would be the case. Cause, without Josh, our show would probably be 15
about
minutes.
2 minutes. I wonder how long Curtis and Josh, I'm quickly going to look what.
Oh,
how
like
long
over an hour, just over an hour. I think they
did. Yeah, they did an hour and 5. And look, we're doing 55 minutes. That seems pretty spec for us. Absolutely. Yeah. So everybody out there, make sure you check out WeWork Stiff at WeWork Stiff. You can check out the conclusion for the Stiff One draft. I believe we're going to record that next week sometime. So we'll get that all sorted. I've got a few notes for some deeper thoughts on some things I want to chat out with you boys. And yeah, until then, it's rate, subscribe, listen or die. Spirit of fight, style of strong, sweet cast, Ichiban.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome, my man. Thank you so much.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Ring Post Radio is the only show hosted by Ryan Knightsey and Scotty Edwards that talks about the entire world of professional wrestling. With new episodes coming out every Sunday, there is absolutely no reason to not listen to real, honest wrestling opinions from two crazy maniacs. Have a hot boy summer and listen along to Ring Post Radio every Sunday on the Count Out Network.